You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Let me do some adjustments here. Those are not my bones, believe it or not. It's the machine here that I am old, but not that bad. Anyway, thank you for joining me this morning and here on the Carol Cox Show. You can always pick up everything on carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And if you're interested in talking with me or sharing your thoughts, and with all the things going on, feel free, 524-1080. And I just can't tell you. I understand that the Coast Guard is out trying to rescue Neil Abercrombie's administration. He ran out of gas. No, I'm sorry. That was the plane that was headed for Hilo. I'm sorry. He ran out of people. Yeah, that's what happened. Neil Abercrombie's administration has run out of people. And that piqued my curiosity and got to thinking, maybe we voted for the wrong party, because I thought it was the Republicans were the party of family values. You notice everybody leaving ship, jumping ship, is going out because of family values. Wow. Isn't that funny? Well, probably what really caused them to leave, and if they're worth anything, they, the ones that have left, they would encourage the others to leave, because there's a lot of crime and corruption, favoritism, and we're going to talk about that. And you know about the proclamation, which I believe contributed to the current climate of jumping ship and placing family values before the government. I mean, you spend all this time running around doing governmental issues and matters. Now, all of a sudden, you got family in mind. So I think that's a big lie. They call it a Shabbat, but I think what that is a big lie. And Josh Levins, and if you're out there, call us up or share with us. Go speak and tell the truth. You know that there's probably so much corruption going on that you probably couldn't stand it anymore because your parents taught you better. And Aoki, the same thing. L'Oreal, the same thing. something's wrong here. And I think I have my finger on the pulse here. It has something to do with the proclamation, but not just the proclamation, but the whole climate that is prevalent in that administration, the Abercrombie administration. I got a caller here. Let me just be courteous and not have them waiting. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Well, anyway, the light's on. Nobody's home. Well, here's the situation. Now, we talked about, as you know, came up with the proclamation, found out that the governor had passed the proclamation suspending all the laws and of environmental and many others. And I offered a great many suspicions and things of that nature. And in that, things just have not come clear. And for me, I like to continue. I don't want to take this subject and, you know, try to get blood out of a turnip. But in this case, you don't take those measures such as Neil Abercrombie did with this proclamation. You think, what's the motivation and when did it start and who's really behind it? And I want you, if you're near a computer, I want you to go Google Joel Pickard. And I'm going to be able to hopefully show you that Joel Pickard of EnviroNet and some other or companies, community planning, engineering, and Sea Hawaii, you're going to see that something is awry here. Abercrombie got quite a bit of money, folks, for campaign donations from Joel Pickard. And you may have remembered Joel Pickard from the CREO, Mufi Hanneman, former mayor, sometimes want to be governor, but temporarily mayor, you know, whatever the guy is. A real dear friend. In fact, Joel Pickard helped Mufi Hanneman in his transition. So we'll see. Yes, Carla, come in a question. Good morning. Well, we're having, don't know what to tell you. They're just not coming in. So anyway, what we'll do is start off, you know, someone said, wow, when you talked about this proclamation, you mentioned the Army Corps of Engineers, and you didn't have any kind words, or you spoke unkindly of them. And what happened was real simple. I said that the Army Corps of Engineers were one of the dirtiest, sleaziest federal agencies there are, with their tactics and their strategies and their willingness to be corrupt and do that. So here's what happened. Here's what happened. Now, those were my descriptions of the Army Corps of Engineers, and I still believe that, and I'm even now encouraged to believe that it's even worse than I had known or imagined. Recently, the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation has a newsletter, and in that current newsletter, there's a story of October 4th, 2011, and two U.S. Army Corps of Engineers employees and two other indicted in $20 million bribery and kickback scheme involving government contracts. Defendants arrested today as authorities seize millions in assets. What does that have to do with Hawaii? Well, I'm going to say to you, this is not to say Joel Pickard or his company or Neil Abercrombie was involved in this, but there seems to be some need to ask questions. You see, the program that involves the actual cleaning of the munitions that supposedly caused this emergency was actually something that was for the Waikoloa on the Big Island area, former Waikoloa maneuver area. And in that contains some private lands. So how is it that this company, EnviroNet, Here's the contract that the Army Corps of Engineer had put up 15th November 2010. And on just recently, September 2nd, 2011, Joel Picard prepared a document called for EnviroNet. And it was just absolutely strange that why this was supposed to be an emergency and there was money and they had worked on it back in June, and when in fact apparently Abercrombie couldn't wait to get into office to hand off this prize to Joel Picard, apparently. But we'll talk about that. Caller, go ahead. Come in. A question is. Hello? Can't hear you.
Hello?
You got to talk or you go away.
Yes, I'm V for Vendetta. I was at the Occupy Honolulu yesterday.
Right.
And I'm here to talk about what that event stands for. I'm not sure exactly what we want to speak about.
Well, let me know, let the public know this. You had a protest yesterday. We'll mix it all up, but you had a protest yesterday, or a gathering, a rally of sorts. What was the purpose behind that, and what are you attempting to do? Is it part of the Wall Street protest? Carla?
Yes. I'm not hearing you too well on my phone. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you go get a phone that works or something, because it just...
Okay. I'm on a cell phone right now. I'll try another cell phone because I took my home phone out. I'll try to call back.
All right. Well, can you hold up? You hear that now? Okay. We apologize for that. That's the way it rolls. Good morning, Carla. Comment or question?
Good morning, Carol. I was just calling... you know, as I listened to your show and I put things together, I didn't know that Joe Pickard's outfit was EnviroNet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right down by the pier, I thought they had come into, I just started noticing it this week, they've set up a trailer over at the place where the Hawaiians live that they supposedly lease and they do all the movies. But he's set up. He's got 25 EnviroNet trucks over there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're doing over here. But I just thought it was interesting because as I listen, you put things together, you know, it's like, wow, that's who that is. I thought they're out here checking for the helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm. And this is
that's just a prime example of, you know, it's like we've always wondered about how these people can hold the land down there hostage and not let anybody own it in the valley by the pier, by Hi'iakea Pier.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they'll let these companies come in, I'm sure give them a little something, and set up shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just real disturbing. You know, it's been an ongoing issue for 15 years,
so
how they are, that's taxpayers' land down there.
So this is city property, and what, EnviroNet trucks are parked there, you say?
Oh, yeah. They've set up a trailer, and they're there every morning by 7:30. And I was always, I'm wondering, what are they doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm starting to, the picture's bigger as you talk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Caller, go ahead and come in a question. Hello. Caller, you have a comment or question? Okay. Anyway, a couple of people have called in regarding the Honolulu, Occupy Honolulu protest, and they wanted to get the word out that they will have other functions. I'm going to try one more time, caller, if you can hear me, and if it fails, let's just give up. Carla, go ahead. Comment or question?
Yes. Yes, I can barely hear you, but I'm not sure if you can hear me. Otherwise,
okay, let's roll. Just give me a little bit of what this is about, the Occupy Honolulu protest.
Well, it was the first event held in Honolulu, and the reason that I'm going is over the last 10 years, if not more, I've been an activist revealing the inner workings of our government in a whole and the inner workings of the banking industry. And I went there to try to give my wisdom of previous years of what I've been trying to do as I've been writing on the Internet for the last 10 years plus. As V as Vendetta, that was who my character was, and I had thousands and many thousands of followers on MySpace at the time to tell the world exactly what's going on. And what's transpired now is finally the people, the way I look at it, has woken up to the fact that we call them money junkies, the ones on Wall Street, because no matter how much money that they're going to get, it's never enough. So that's one of the phrases we use, but the aspect of what's really going on now and the importance of it is to understand, more importantly, is why we're at this stage of the game from what's happened when the Federal Reserve was brought into aspect in 1913 and what's happening now and why it's where it is right now. And the bottom line really is the politicians have made it this way. And my thoughts on the whole idea is there's only one way to make anything change indirectly is every single candidate, Republican, Democrat, makes no difference, got to be voted out of office because they've been poisoned by lobbyists. The bankers give them so much money contributions. Anything that the people want makes no difference because they're controlled by the money junkies, the bankers and the Wall Streeters, and where we are right now, that'll never change. And the Occupy aspect of this whole thing is that the people have to come up with demands to make any change before things get in a very, very bad state. That's what's probably end up going to be happening in the end result of all of this. Mm-hmm. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you clearly.
Okay. And I was there because I want to share the information that I've had because it appears to me a lot of young people have jumped on board, and this has been something I've been doing my whole life, and then I pretty much stopped after MySpace got invaded by Facebook, which Facebook was a setup from the beginning to get everybody off from MySpace because Facebook is really another control of the government where they can even control everything that you write to the people. And then I just lost interest, and I had, you know, so many people following everything that I had to say. Yeah. I would take information from what I found because I do research, because now my whole thing is now I've been retired and that's all I do is watch all the moves of our government and everything that's gone corrupted. It doesn't matter who they are. But my mainest concern right now is what I'm watching is I'm seeing certain movie actors or even the Obama administration coming in and saying, oh, he's concerned or he understands. He doesn't understand. He's surrounded by everybody in his cabinet is nothing but Wall Street. If you look in every secretary or most of all the people that's around him, everything around every person, I'm not just saying Democrat or Republican, everybody is surrounded him by Wall Street banking money, and the money is what's the whole problem here. And I'm not sure how things are going to turn out here, but I'd like to, the reason I'm there is I'd like to give my wisdom and insight on things that we can do to maybe make a change. And we have to not only go after the Fed, we have to go after all the politicians. Just look into their pocketbooks and see who's controlling them, and then you see who's controlling the whole system, you know.
Right.
I'm not sure if you've got any questions for me, because I can go on forever on what I'm talking about.
Well, this message that and that you folks are trying to send out and stimulate an interest in, there are people out there that are interested in participating, and how would they contact you, and where would they go? Is there a website, or is there a phone number?
The only place I used to spend a lot of time, I was on MySpace under a certain name, Yahoo, and what I'll probably end up doing is giving that information probably at the Occupy event. I just got a Yahoo Mail, but I stopped publishing a lot of that because I got to the point in my life that no matter all the information I had, I just got uninterested because, see, the main part people got to really understand is the government's biggest tool right now is to create fear. Fear is their next weapon. As long as they can keep you scared of everything, they've already polluted our skies. They were in our GMO food. They've done everything that they possibly can to eliminate, really, people is the way I see it. They don't care for the people. No one in the government cares for any of the people. And until they can get that through their heads and see what they're doing, nothing's ever going to change. I don't really have a personal site anymore because I've got into holistic things because I see under Obamacare we're going to need a lot of help because that's healthcare rationing, and we're going to lose everything we got. And if you don't prepare yourself with all the natural things in life, herbs, vitamins, minerals, supplements, we're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have an actual website. I just got a Yahoo, and I got a MySpace and that.
And what about the movement itself? Is there a website, or how does people follow?
They've got an Occupy.com, OccupyHonolulu.com website right now to go to. I'm not really familiar with all that since we just met up yesterday. I'm going to become a little more involved when I go today because we're meeting up today again to go over some things at the same spot today.
Well, where are you meeting? Where is the meeting? Is
at the same place at South Bethel and Hotel Street on the corner there, at the same place we were at yesterday, and we're going to get some more things going. Since it's a new meetup group, we're just kind of just start organizing now and getting things into play. And, you know, I want to make it more than just the Federal Reserve because there's more to the picture than them. Who put them there? Who gave them this power, you know? It's not like they become, you know, powerful, but they knew what they were doing in the very beginning when they put a Federal Reserve in charge of our currency, which our money is nothing more than fiat, and we're really on a global economic collapse right now, and there's no stopping it right now, and it's because of our Federal Reserve. Everything that they're doing, they're doing for a reason, and that's to collapse everything and make it one world money, one world government. They got a plan now. It has to be revealed to the public so at least people can know exactly what they're up to, because the media hides everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just starting to put on the TV networks Ron Paul exists. The man has been talking about getting the Federal Reserve gone since who knows when, and now they're going to click onto that and try to jump on a bandwagon that they believe in the Constitution and Bill of Rights when they're dismantling all of
it. Who is this? Now, you mentioning Ron Paul. Is this about Ron Paul, or is this
no,
about...
No, not really. What, I mean, I'm not a Republican.
Hold
I'm
on.
Not a Democrat. I'm
Caller.
Not a Ron Paul
Caller.
Supporter. All I know is there's not one person running that
hold
I'd
on.
Ever vote for.
You there?
What would be him if I vote?
Are
I'm
you
not
there?
Promoting him.
Caller. Take your time. Take a deep breath. We're talking. We're not competing.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? Now, I have a question, and then if you want to get your word out, this isn't conservative radio. This is we're going to be intelligent about this. So take your time. I have some thoughts, and I'm sure there are others out there that have thoughts. So the clock isn't going anywhere. So is this about Ron Paul? And I noticed yesterday Ron Paul was there, the campaign was there. So is this about Ron Paul? Do you think that this will hurt this Occupy Honolulu movement? Because for myself, just to be honest with you, Ron Paul, I mean, he gave birth to Ryan Paul or whatever the gentleman's name is in Kentucky, and he raised him a bit, and he is about as... a misfit is anything in culture and human society. And you guys are, is he a chip off the old block? And I hear everybody talking about the issues with Ron Paul, and not to be so in depth of this, but Ron Paul, I find him under my pillow now. I find him if I go to Zippy's to get a tofu burger. Ron Paul has some way, and everybody's preaching. Who is this Ron Paul, and why is it that he's now marrying himself up to the movement, the Occupy Honolulu? What is that? I mean, isn't that a horrible message? Because I don't think it's about Ron Paul.
No, you're absolutely right, and his son isn't really in the same sink as his father is. But if you look back at, and I don't know if he'll become part of that or not. I believe some politicians will, you know, to get votes, but that's not really what it's about. All you have to do is look at the man's record, what he stood for. He stood for the same thing over and over and over over the years. That's the only thing I know. I don't know if he'll be a good man. And even, I believe even if he got the chance to get all the way up there, and this is just my personal thought, they won't allow him to get that far. I mean,
when you say they
hit on him, I mean, I don't think he even, but his message is finally being heard, you know? And that's not why I was calling. I wouldn't vote for a representative in anything for anywhere, because that's not how I am, unless I believe in somebody doing the right thing.
Yeah, there's some issues with the 99%ers, you know, they have some concerns. I was told yesterday that they want to speak about corporate America and its impacts and what have you, and they don't want to give the message that Ron Paul is the catalyst of the nuclei for this this movement. And hopefully the local groups too will be aware of that and not invite some of these other knuckleheads that are called. I saw someone the other day with a sign for politicians. I'm thinking, and then I saw some there eating out of bags, McDonald's bags and Starbucks, complaining about corporate America. You know, my advice from the old world is, in the old school, is that if you're going to complain, you need to be the one to set good examples. So, you know, if you bring Ron Paul there, then you've already watered down your message, and you probably scared a large percentage of the people, when in fact the movement. This is just my opinion now.
I think you're right. I think that person who was there, at least with that booth, he wasn't at our actual meetup, so he really had nothing. He just brought his message of him to be able to sign up, it looked like, on the Republican primary that's coming up in March. But he was really not part of that actual group, even though people that believe in what the cause is are looking kind of at somebody, so I guess they're picking him because he's been preaching that message from day one. It hasn't changed. He doesn't change his side or swaying of thoughts on anything. You can go back and look at it, and that's the only thing. See, all I am is a truth seeker. All I want from day one is the truth of what's going on, and that's why I spent the last probably 15 years, my light bulb went off in 1995 that started figuring out what's going on. And, well, you know, I'm from, you know, I came from the mainland, New York, and, you know, right after, actually before the 911 event, because I was wearing that shirt, we used to meet up in meetup groups, and we went over every aspect of that aspect of how the government was involved in it. So that's where I started. We would meet up by the hundreds, and now that's starting. That message is starting to finally awaken one. But I had listened to a man on the radio show, and his name was, and I don't know, I'm not trying to promote anyone because I don't care for that individual.
Well, don't do it.
No, I won't.
If they say it's not about the money, it's not about the money. If you're not trying to promote anybody, then don't mention them. But you're more than welcome to go ahead and mention it. I just thought I'd pull your coattail.
Right. You just said not to mention it, correct?
Oh, no, mention it. They don't have any secrets.
His name was Alex Jones, and it was July of 2001 because he talked on the show in July of 2001 on his radio show, because I listened to it, because back then in 95 there was very few individuals that was on the radio at all that spoke about anything when it came down to the government. But he spoke on that radio show July of 2001, and this is a fact about how they were going to fly airplanes into buildings in New York City. They didn't have the date 911, and he was begging the government not to allow it to happen. Well, lo and behold, most people aren't aware of this, that on that given day they were doing they were flying, they were having a mock section of make-believe flying planes into the building. Okay, go ahead.
I don't want to relive that.
Okay, I don't either. I don't know why I got on that topic.
Well, you're new to
it,
but Let me. I got other callers and.
Okay.
Feel free. The V for Vendetta, right?
Yes, I'm V for Vendetta. That's who I was all those years because I didn't want no one to know actually who I was.
Well, feel free to call again. Feel free to call again. I'm going to go ahead and let some other callers.
Okay.
Right?
I didn't mean to.
Hey,
okay.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Yes, good morning, caller. Comment or question? Hello? Well, I guess everybody got lots of patience, but little to hold on. But anyway, I'm allowing this to come in, and I do apologize for the disruptive nature of this, but what I'm trying to do, this is consistent with, we're saying Wall Street, and we're saying politicians, and we're saying businesses, and I'm taking this opportunity, and wherever I can possibly, I'll continue to talk about this story with Neil Abercrombie, and the influences of politics and donations, and I'm going to share with you the actual donations part of this that Pickard gave specifically to Abercrombie. And I think you will, while we can't say Abercrombie gave in because he got money from Pickard, but just we can't omit or dismiss this fact that Pickard now is doing work related to a matter that Abercrombie took extreme measures to lift and suspend all laws. Good morning, Carl. Come in a question.
Yes, good morning, Carol.
Yes.
We're getting back to Abercrombie's thing. You've got our wheels spinning with all this stuff you put together, and I thank you, but, Joe Pickard is over there. He's actually doing I don't know what you would call it, a restoration, a military cleanup for Haiya. And the president of Haiya, Jerry Kaliva, is the one that he's a project's board director. He's the one where they're putting the trailers and setting up shop. And then you have the wife, who is a longtime neighborhood board member and a real root in the community that, you know, like Joe Pickard. And it's just, boy, what we're reading now just looks so... It's a military cleanup. So what we were thinking, and we can't assume, but is that they got in there and grabbed that money to do the military cleanup from the proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's so sketchy. It's incredible.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
All right. Keep us posted. Now, let me just read you, and this was taken from the campaign, state campaign spending website. Committee on this is a committee for Abercrombie for Governor report on 2008 to 2010. The Pickard, the brother, I guess, and I'll just say there's a Walter Pickard that on 6/30/2009 gave $2,000, and he is with Sea Hawaii, and Sea Hawaii is owned by, or part of, the agent name is Joseph G. Pickard. And the main officer that is listed here on the Breg, the DCCA, is Joseph G. Pickard. So there is a $2,000 donation there from a Walter, and this is 2009, and Walter reports he's a tour operator executive. Then Joseph Pickard on 4/17/2009 gave a $5,000 donation to the Abercrombie campaign for governor. Then there's a Elisa Pickard at the same address. She also gave a $5,000. So right there, we're looking at $12,000 to the Neil Abercrombie campaign. Then there's a Beatrice Pickard, who gave on 11/4/2009 to the Abercrombie for governor. Gave a $2,000 campaign donation to Neil Abercrombie. And her position in life, or her job, is she's a homemaker. And the Elisa Pickard is a librarian, works for the State of Hawaii Department of Education. She gave $5,000. So now we're up to $14,000 Now, I don't know if this is called bundling, if it qualifies, but I'm going to raise the issue anyway, and then you can either offer information that would controvert this, and I'm not drawing conclusions. I'm just going to reflect what I'm finding, and keep in mind now, this proclamation was secret. We uncover that, and then the governor, they try and sneak it in. See, that's the other element of this that no one seemed to grasp. Once the query start was out to get this document, this supplement, this proclamation, they heard and put it, squeeze it inside of June as if they had already posted it. You see, didn't post it at the actual time and note that it was tardy and withheld from being posted in a regular fashion. So, again, no one looks at that. So they try to cover their tracks by inserting it between the dates that the June 14th, 2011. So, now, that's the homemaker. Then there's a 12/31/2009, the librarian, it states, gives another $1,000, so $13,000. Then there's a Thomas Picard giving to that campaign of Neil Abercrombie, 12/31/2009, a $2,100. And it says that retired was the position of this person. Now, again, here comes Walter Picard again from Sea Hawaii, which is owned by Joel Picard. He indicates now he's a vice president with just in a couple of months. And it indicates that he'd given $4,000 on this occasion. And then following that, Joseph Picard gives another $1,000, which makes it a $6,000. On 12/31, and he indicates that the company that he gave it under was EnviroNet, Inc. So we're nearing $20-some thousand or more to the campaign of Neil Abercrombie for governor. Now, this isn't to say that anything was wrong, but I'm just saying that it's worth looking at. This governor taking these steps to expedite things that were not, there was no emergency. And what I've done is I've posted the work plans at carolcox.com, and I apologize for not being able to go through them and work them up for you, because there's lots of information, and some of it you have to connect the dots, and I haven't done that yet because they were slow at getting them to me, and I think Friday I was able to get the full packet that they came in. And I can only tell you, it's not over yet, folks. This, something is wrong. They say that it was done, the Army Corps of Engineer gave their contract and all, and it all says that in November 30th, 2010, here's the scary part of this. The project name, Indefinite Delivery, Indefinite Quantity Service Contract for Munitions and Explosives of Concern. Response Action, Former Waikoloa Maneuver Area and Honolulu District, POH Area of Responsibility. Now, nowhere in these work plans do I have a single document that names, for example, Maui. And to make matters worse, to show you that there is a cover-up, and the people that call themselves environmental managers there that's running DLNR, all of them, it should be a shame, because if you don't have the guts to stand up and to be allow someone to implicate you based on what is occurring here, then you are as sick as the rest of them. And I don't want to hear, you're a good guy, you're a nice guy. There's nothing to do with that. You're ripping the taxpayers off, and you're watching it happen, and it's wrong. Don't tell me it was an oversight or misstep. This was a plan, and a plan to basically, on the part of Abercrombie, to defraud the public. That's what this is about. And again, I want to share with you a little note that I got from DLNR. The people that knows best, do little or nothing for the resources. That's what DLNR means. And then also they have the ability to present a face, and if you ask them if they love animals, yes, they do. If you ask them, do you stand up and fight for the animals, then they'll look at you and paw at the ground and paw at the sand. But the reality is, I want you to hear this note that was sent to me as part of the request that I did under the public records request. Pursuant to your request to access government records received to inspect and copy all work plans associated with the Governor's 6/14/2011 proclamation pertaining to the removal of munitions of the state lands, 11/1/10 to present, they've attached 12 PDF documents, and I have posted those on there, and I encourage you to go read them, and you can see this big mess. And this is probably why his communication staff couldn't come up with a response, because this thing is so crooked that they don't know if it's a snake or just politicians and businesses coming and going. They really don't know. But here's what really happened. They then tell me, the DLNR, please note that these work plans are not documents of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, but are maintained as copies received from the Army Corps of Engineers. So in other words, the word went out, you touch nothing, you write nothing, you put nothing in writing because it can be had through the public records request. And that is what's really troublesome about this. And you got to understand something. If you look at this final master project work plan, the state gives a right of entry to this, to the companies. But they didn't provide a copy to me. When I asked about it originally, and all of these documents, they represented, they being the biologists and the managers in DLNR. This is how far they will go to commit a crime, and all they're going to benefit is to keep their jobs and have a good dental plan. Because, you know, if you mumbling all the time and lying, your teeth might fall out eventually. Hopefully that's what happened while you're claiming you went to college and become educated and going to stand up and protect the resources, because the little people don't know this. The uneducated people don't know about protection of wildlife and all. So we know how to write work plans and right of entries and all of that. And then you stand up when the emperor walks through and say, I want it done, do it this way, and you go silent. Shame on you. But what happens in this case, forget the proclamation, we don't even know its full impact. And I believe that what has happened with this proclamation, it is the telltale sign of everything about Neil Abercrombie. This amount of money handed to Neil Abercrombie for governor is the big question. He is for sale. Our resources is for sale. Our dollars are for sale. And we're giving them away, and then I guess he gets back. But also now I want you to know, Colleen Hanabusa received a handsome donation. And hold that thought, and I'm going to share with you, you know, Donovan De La Cruz introduced Bill 55. So that this would facilitate this proclamation. And guess who gets a nice, cute little donation? Well, we'll be right back. Hold on. Good morning, Carla. Come in a question.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm sorry. And on the street, I've been talking. I want to make sure I call in, so I apologize for the noise in advance.
Okay. What
if
have we
I
got?
Could be heard.
Yeah, you can be heard.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. What's your comments or question?
Well, I was just calling in because, Carol, I know you yesterday. My name is Lauren. I was there at the General Assembly meeting that we had on the corner of Hotel and Bethel. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the General Assembly, which was in trying to start something here locally in solidarity or with the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to have another meeting at 11 a.m. today, so I was just reaching out to you and to your listeners, if anybody can and is willing to join us. This is trying to fight for the same issues against Wall Street and localizing that issue here.
So, and this is from the Honolulu Wall Street,
yeah.
Occupy Honolulu protest?
Yeah, actually, one interesting thing how we wanted to move forward is even dealing with, like, the unique struggle that Hawaii has being an occupied nation itself. And so that was actually one big thing that we want to think about. So we don't have an official name, but we are the General Assembly that is the 99% against 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So really identifying with that movement and trying to localize it here.
Well, thank you for someone at least starting something. I don't know where it's going to go, but it's kind of a lonesome position here. You bring all of this to the table, and nothing's happening. You know, the public doesn't know where to, do not know where to go or who to contact. So,
yeah,
I hope you success. And what website or where can the general public go? And those that do not have a website, how can they learn more and participate?
Yeah, so right now we're actually working on, we have been working through Facebook, Occupy Honolulu. Like I said, yesterday was our first meeting we've ever had, and it has just been word of mouth and through Facebook, and we had actually a good turnout. I think people really are, have genuine frustrations and have genuine inspiration to make something happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just the start, but if anybody wants to go check out the Facebook Honolulu, Occupy Honolulu page,
mm-hmm.
and we will soon have hopefully our own website within the next week.
If you could give some bullet points, what are you hoping to accomplish in this, and what are some of the specific points that you want to make, if you could, for those that, you know, what's in a name is one thing, but to being more specific as to what your goals are, and what do you hope to accomplish, and what
I guess abstractly or in the general sense, I mean, people really want, like, a revolution kind of radical change of how the transfer of power, because what this movement, I feel, is about is a transfer of power from the very few top 1% who have intentionally been deteriorating the quality of life for working people of every color, gender, and orientation. And so that's what we want to see. I don't know exactly if that's a exact political change, but my hope is for people to really come together and start trying to work towards organizing one another so we can create our own vision for this kind of change we would want to see versus just having these, the politics of our state and of our nation are kind of not going anywhere.
Right.
And so I think that's the whole thing, is people with nothing specific in mind, but with this idea that we ourselves can change the circumstances affecting our lives. I think that, and that is the process by which we are starting, by coming together. And so through this process, I think the specifics can come. So right now it's just this idea of this vision and solid by people coming together.
So your meeting today is at 11 o'clock in a specific
area
again?
Yeah, in Chinatown Hotel and Bethel Street by Indigo.
Okay. And anyone's welcome, all creed, color, and leanings, correct?
Yes, anybody who identifies with this movement that is spreading across our nation and wants to make something happen here is more than welcome to have their voice heard and propose some ideas to plans of action.
All righty.
So, well, yeah, I thank you.
Thank you, and feel free to call anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Bye. Bye.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question? Hello? Well, it must be Casper the Friendly Ghost. Can't seem to hold the phone or something. Anyway, again, I'm speaking about this issue and would invite any of you out there that have comments on the Occupy Honolulu or Wall Street or what have you. Go ahead, call a comment or question, please. Hello? Anyway, I guess, as some would say, if you were paranoid, they're coming to get me. But hopefully we attribute all of this to just poor phone etiquette. So, we'll... Anyway, So now, with this, and we're going to take a break, and hopefully you'll join with us later on in the second hour. But again, it sounds that I'm scattered, but I got to tell you, I wanted to prepare this for some while, but it just seems that with everyone abandoning ship in Abercrombie's administration, and then you got this gatekeeper, this Donalyn De La Cruz. I don't know where she went to school, but just look at her. When you behave that way, Donalyn, you're not believable. And we are the people that own the government. You at least owe us courtesy. Don't shift the blame and tell us that because we are interested in asking questions, you are so high and mighty with Emperor Neil. You need to know that it is our government, and you work for us. So be a little more respectful when you speak to us or offer an explanation, because eventually we will hold you accountable. And like you and others that have gone now, possibly the governor might be able to leave the office, because if there's some crying going on, we don't have to worry about the actual recall, which can't exist here supposedly in the state. But boy, if we can get enough information, and I encourage anybody out there that got information, call in, call the FBI. They're quite interested in these types of things, white-collar crimes or no-collar crimes. But anyway, caller, go ahead real quick. You got a comment or question.
Aloha, Takayaka. This is Jesse from Haleiwa. I have a comment.
Yes, go ahead. We got about three more minutes, Jesse. If you want to call back,
okay.
You can call back.
I was present at the Occupy 99%, supporting I Aloha Molokai organization. ialohamolokai.com is the website if you have any questions. It's so important that our island support this and many organizations that are trying to fight for certain goals environmentally and through our labor, and to support the Facebook. It's Occupy Honolulu Facebook. And we're building the website and getting people together, and there's many organizations that are coming together to really fight this. So I just wanted to lend my support and let people know that if there's a Facebook out there called Occupy Honolulu, that will have all our information and will have all resources for many kinds of people to get together, from students to teachers to, you know, business people. Anybody that's been affected financially or environmentally can come together and check that out.
Okay. Yeah, and I definitely want to try and talk with you about the big win on Molokai that's being proposed and some of the other issues. So if you'd like to call back in the next hour, you're more than welcome. All righty. Well, thank you, and I'll talk to you soon. Aloha.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, well, we're going to get out of here and come back shortly and be back.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Kevo Cox Show on K108. Change will come.
little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long, time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me
again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Some of you probably said, he played that before. Well, yes, I did, but I had a special request, and also it's moving, because if you're me and you were in my predicament, you see all of this and you ask yourself, now what? Now that I see it and I understand, who cares? And so that's the downside of being me. When you see all of this and you know that it's wrong, it's a lonesome and a lonely trail to hike, because people don't get it, or preoccupied or bothered or whatever, or predisposed with something else. But I submit to you that this is one of the most corrupt acts that you see in state government of Hawaii right now. Now, some of you might argue the rail, but the problem with the rail, you got people saying, well, you know, we need to reassess it and look at it again, but they're not saying get rid of it because it's wrong, it's illegal. They, you know, well, we should mix it and all. We should get rid of that too. That's criminal. But again, now if you recall, Joel Pickard was also, there was a little hoo-hoo about his involvement in the rail early on contracts. So again, you have this circle of friends. We won't call it government anymore. There's no such thing as government in Hawaii now. It's a circle of friends. Kumbaya, humbaya, and screw the public. If you don't believe it, look at all of your fees. Look at everything that you got. You're paying the brunt of this. You're carrying it on your shoulders. And these fat cats or able. You look at the kuli that was raised in the water in the Alawai, and go back and look to see who was involved in that $500,000 grant, federal grant monies, put in the Alawai to see if it would clean the Alawai, and you go down there and you still see the junk and the parts just laying in the weeds. Guess who was part of that? So this is something that, and I do have hopes. I believe that the FBI don't just sit around and listening to our conversation as to what we're going to shop and buy and eat for dinner. They've proven here, and I've posted this link on my website from their website and newsletter about the Army Corps of Engineers employees. But it says, I'm going to read just a bit, and for those of you who don't have the internet, four Virginia men, including two longtime employees of the Army Corps of Engineers, were arrested today on charges stemming from an indictment that accuses them of taking part in a conspiracy involving more than $20 million in bribes and kickback payments and the planned steering of a $780 million government contract to favored contractors. Folks, I'm not the little boy who's screaming wolf here. This proclamation and the need for it and all of it fits this template. You got subcontractors, contractors, and you bring them together, and now all of a sudden, if we were to roll back the sheets, we'll know who's in bed with one another. You'll know that you're not there. You'll know that Neil Abercrombie has taken hold of the state so-called government with his circle of friends and is repaying, and I don't know how he is going to get the money, but if you notice in the early openings and the statements about when they did disclose things, it was monies that could flow in. The faucet would open and the money would flow in. Yeah, but who's the water boy? Who's going to get the money as it flow in? And to get this kind of donations to run for governor and then find yourself in favor and favoring an entity, I don't know what more there is to say. But according to the indictment, Kerry Conn and Alexander, this is the FBI's report, and this was written on posted on October 4th, 2011. According to the indictment, Kerry Conn and Alexander helped funnel more than $45 million in payments to a favored company through federal government contracts they oversaw, with plans to steer hundreds of millions more to the business. Approximately $20 million in fraudulent expenses were built in the invoices, and proceeds went to all four defendants. They describe this indictment alleges one of the most brazen corruption schemes in the history of federal contracting. I don't know if this Abercrombie deal, and I'm hoping someone out there that is has a greater understanding of this and how it's laid out, to get past the it was a misstep and we'll learn to tell the public again. No, you don't get a second try. I'm hoping that any of you out there, and I'm posting work that I've done up so that you can see, and let's follow this. I believe we have something here now. I believe that we have the perfect example to rid ourselves of a real tyrant, a real criminal administration, an administration that cares nothing about the people and the issues here in the state other than their friends lining their pockets. $20,000 from like name, and then you go to Colleen Hanabusa and you see the donations he's made to her, and on and on and on. And then Donovan De La Cruz, I'm told that he's the one who authorized the lease there at this property at Hay Ear, or was instrumental in obtaining that lease or spoke on behalf of the entity. So, again, how can all of this happen? And, one thing about the DLNR chairman, he and Mr. Isla said, well, it was something that he was, no. Folks, this is bigger than that. And the willingness to throw themselves on the sword, Aoki, Levinson, I don't know why they left. But maybe they know that it's such a criminal act, and maybe they know they want no part of it. And I'm hoping that you, the listeners or the taxpayers, forget the listener part of it. You're the taxpayer. You're the citizen. This is a free nation. We shouldn't be robbed by our government. We shouldn't. There's absolutely no way we should tolerate this, and we should call for an investigation. As I have called, and let me just share with you, you saw the paper say, well, the Sierra Club and others ask for him to rescind that. Well, I asked for rescinding of that bill when I first discovered this and wrote a letter. To date, this administration ignores my request. It won't even respond, but they responded to the others. I don't have any explanation for that. But again, this proclamation, now I'm asking for more documents. And they are reluctant to give them because they didn't really have anything, and this was the workers within the department at lower levels as having this thrust upon them. But the chairman level and the management of these employees are just telling them to get it done and keep quiet. So if you believe that there's something can be done, I don't understand if the proclamation was done, why I'm looking at this document here. This is the final master project work plan. And again, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity service contract for munitions and explosives by EnviroNet, who prepared this. And it was signed. And here's some of the names now that they put together. Brian Stepp, on-site project manager. Daniel Haynes, quality control manager. Joel Picard, program manager, and all. And Picard is the president program manager of this organization or this effort that's out there to clean up munitions or what have you. Carla, go ahead. Comment or question. Hello? I guess that's the connection that we have here. But anyway, if you are care to navigate the business donations and the contributions for the actual campaign contributors, you can go at the website at the campaign spending commission and find and see for yourself. And if you're interested, I'm just waiting now to get past this. Well, who's abandoning ship? The proclamation, we know it was wrong, but I'm now hoping that we can re-engineer this whole process and start working backwards. We know the hows of it, how it's done. Now we need to work backwards and figure out the whys and the whos. And I believe that we're going to find there's a lot of people that are going to be hired to get this pass-through money, to get it kicked back. I mean, quite natural, if you have a crew out working, you're going to need people to provide bandages and stand along. So who do you hire? Maybe you hire a friend. Or you hire a friend of Neil Abercrombie's or what have you. Carla, go ahead, comment or question.
Hello, hi, my name is Jesse, and I'm calling about the big win.
Alrighty, back again, thank you. So, real quickly, this isn't off subject, folks. This big win, there's donors that gave money to Neil Abercrombie for the big win. So, Jesse, if you real quickly, can you share with us what's happening on Molokai, the big win project? We talked about it on the NAI, but all of these things are relevant because they are part of the Abercrombie administration.
Very true. It's a fiscal issue. It's about $3 billion to $4.5 billion project that's going to be coming out of our pockets. And, you know, that's not like just crackers. You know, that's a lot of money. That money could put 3 solar panels on every building in Hawaii. We would have a surplus of energy, but HECO doesn't want that. The administration doesn't want that. You know, this is a rights issue. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, as far as many of these issues, rights is a rights issue because the island, 98% of the island says no, they don't want it. So if we extend, you know, that a government that's separated from the people's wants, it's detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
It's an environmental problem because they're trying to build a cable from each island that's going to affect whales and sea life and reef. That's thousands and thousands of years of perfect preparation, you know, of these reefs. As soon as you crush that or destroy it, you know, you can't turn back the clock, and they're not looking at that. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at if things go bad. They're just trying to think about the billions of dollars that are going to be subsidized to these companies. These are oil companies running these big wind farms.
Mm-hmm.
It's industrialization. You can check this all out at iolohomolokai.com or greenmagazinehawaii.net. They all have, there's many organizations that are supporting this, NOAA, because it's going to affect people on several different levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect all the islands fiscally. You know, we already have a high cost of living. Imagine, you know, all of us trying to pay 4.5. It's going to create a very big financial gap, and it that's relating to Occupy 99. And we need to call our governor. We need to write him and tell him that we don't want for this overspending to bail out these huge companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an opportunity for conservation here in Hawaii, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to damage the culture for Hawaiians. I mean, if anybody knows that part of the island, there are like ancient forest fossils and fishing ponds, and you know, they malama and sacrifice so much on that island, you know, and we sacrifice so much here. Why would we pay to bail out their friends and their company and things that the Abercrombie administration wants? I think it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can support and rally and come together in any way possible, any way you can lend, if it's a signature on a petition or buying a T-shirt or writing a letter or protesting or whatever it is, I urge everyone to come and support many organizations that are fighting this, but specifically Aloha Molokai. These people are coming from Aloha and to support this organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, and I hope you're successful today in getting more people to participate in your efforts today on the Honolulu Wall Street issue, the Occupy Honolulu. And by the way, this is for some of those out there. They're not some of the listeners. They're not advocating violence. So don't, you know, if you hear about this group, I was there yesterday to take pictures, and I'll post some of the pictures and things up on carolcox.com. But I would say it's worth participating, at least expressing to our governor here that we're going to call the police on you, sir, and report you.
Well, thank you very much. Well, have a great day.
Hey, thank you, and we'll talk again.
Aloha.
Bye. Well, you want to hear something really nightmarish? Now, I'm reluctant to express my thoughts overtly because it's scary. Imagine Colleen Hanabusa at Senate, in her position, and imagine Luffy Hanneman in his position. Imagine that. And imagine... Imagine Neil Abercrombie as governor, and imagine Donovan De La Cruz as a gatekeeper, and then imagine Donovan De La Cruz at the Senate who's willing to introduce these bills. You imagine, is that a tag team? What would that be called? Yeah. Imagine that now, you know, and we're being served up Mufi Hanneman. Someone dug him out of the closet and said, you know what, the way things are going on, the people are asleep and they don't really care, Mufi. You know, we're going to put you in a good light. Never mind this rail issue that you had with you, that there's all kinds of questions about, is it worth it, can we afford it, and what have you, and the issues on the contracts and letting of contracts to the friends. You know, Mufi, I think we can present you in a fashion that the people will vote for you. And then he's encouraged by that because I've gotten copies of his announcement where he's asking people, write letters, asking, can you support me? Can you do campaigning for me? So imagine that now. Now, I know you probably say, and for some reason, they've programmed us to ask this question. When you show the guy with his hand in the cookie jar, and you know that he's stealing from you, this is what they've trained us to say and ask. Well, who are we going to vote for? Well, we could get the lesser of the two evils by voting for him. The lesser of two evils. So we are sold and disposed of the fact that we'll accept evil. That's how terrible the state of the government affairs or the good old boy system has settled in on our minds and in our ways. And if they want to raise the prices on fuel, jack them up. Who's going to protect you? They want to raise on lighting, jack them up. Who's going to protect you? They want to put cameras down and survey you for walking around to protect you from people that some of these countries that are in APEC have civil rights issues and foreign policies that make your toes curl up, and to include us. And yet we're being protected, or they're being protected from us. Something's wrong, folks, and if you think that the Occupy, whatever, Honolulu, Portland, and all, I think that is the last remnant of the American spirit. Because in my opinion, in my observations, the American spirit has been watered down and dampened so badly and affected and contaminated so badly that all that we do now is walk around and suck up our government, whatever is fed to us, the lies, the theft, the diversion of monies, this whole thing. And all that we can respond with, well, we could get someone worse. And that is pretty sad. And now, I'm not speaking for everyone. I know a lot of you out there going, I can fix it, and I'm not worried because I got money and this and that. But the reality is we're in a predicament right now that even though it's consisting of 50 states, it's one state of mind. We've lost control. We can't trust our government. On the right, they steal from us. On the left, they steal from us. But then they tell us the ones on the left are stealing from us and lying to us and giving friends and grants and high contracts and what have you. I believe it's time for a change, as I play that song. And if we don't, I don't want to tell you that there are other projects out there that I haven't mailed all the names up, but there were other donors that gave to, and quite naturally, this is something that's been occurring for a while. But again, let me just give you an idea, not just in the state government that I'm concerned about, but some of you may have seen or heard me talk about some city dump trucks, about seven of them, purchasing about close to $2 million just spent, and the trucks don't work, and the men can't fit in them, three men can't. So what happened to those trucks? They promised you that they would be on the road in 30 days. Well, they weren't on the road in 30 days, and they're still not on the road in 30 days, but they tried to give some to the Parks Division, which is a city agency. But where is that money? Who's going to be penalized for that? Who got the contract? Who purchased the trucks? Who brokered the deal? You know, I shared with you that some of the workers got to go to the football game and to the Mall of America and take their wives to look at the trucks and to see how trucks are made. Yet, they brought the trucks back and the trucks can't work. So, that's one problem. Then you may have seen a little story that someone leaked to me, and then I shared it with KHON, and you can go to their website, where the drivers of the bulky items pickup, it is described as being a fraudulent practice by the city managers now. Numnut, whatever her name, you know, Wilma is the name, where Waste Management, the management company of the landfill, became concerned that they were possibly participating in a fraudulent practice. The drivers drive in their load, they come up to the scale before they go dump it at the landfill, and three men in the truck. They drive over the scale, and their weight is included. They go up, they dump the trash. They come back down, and before they go over the scale, two other men get out. Three would get out if they thought they could, the truck would drive over the scale itself and stop, but, you know, hadn't gotten that far yet. But two get out so that their weight reflects that it was actual trash. So now the city place a greater value on that, which is, you know, if it's fraudulent and if the city is losing money and Waste Management is being charging for trash that really isn't trash and being paid because they get paid by the tonnage for handling, so everything that goes over the scales, they get paid a portion to handle it. So the city openly wrote a memo that talked about and described this practice as criminal or unethical or corrupt practice. Yet, in upper management, no one pays anything for taking their families to Minnesota, to the McNellis plant. No one gets penalized for having purchased 8 trucks and delivered them back to Honolulu, where they're not usable. So that's practically $2 million. And again, folks, this was under whose watch? The CREO. And we get all of this. And what you see here is that that circle of friends, that so-called government. Now, you may recall, some of you, if you're listening to me quite often, I filed a complaint about the Mufi Hanneman campaign where he was using secretaries and staff, hired staff, to run his campaign and work at the campaign office. Now, I filed that complaint a while back during the campaign, and I have tape conversations of the people acknowledging that, yes, he was having us to do this. I provided those interviews with the information where they're admitting that they violated the law and or on behalf of Hanneman going there, and that they were being ordered to go and serve instead of working in the city office, go and work at the campaign headquarters. So I gave all that information to the honorable, and underscore that, Chuck Toto, Charles Toto, Toto. And to date, I'm assuming he has interviewed some of those people, but here's the catch. You don't want to hurry up with the investigation, because if you hurry up with the investigation, it'll be more information that the voters can use to decide that Mufi Hanneman is not a CREO. He's not a mayor. He is a party that has learned in his government role to trick the system. And yet, we see his friend, as he described him in his own words, Joel Picard, in the midst of a nice, handsome setup here with proclamations and suspending laws and on and on and on. How does this relate? This is why I use that term to describe our government now, that it's no longer government. And now we're left to consider voting for these same people again. Go ahead, caller. Comment or question? Hello.
Hello. I'm calling to comment on the windmill farm. The windmill.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just calling just to say that, you know, I believe that the Hawaiian Islands should be kept, you know, with pristine beauty, and would not want to see, you know, windmills go up and it becoming an industrial wasteland. That isn't what these islands are about.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, I appreciate you calling. Thank you.
Yes, bye.
Aloha. Well, I have to be careful because I don't want to come across as a nut and someone that's just going to complain and piss and moan about this. But I'm really worried because I know the enemy. And as I say, Pogo or associated with Pogo or contributed to attributing this statement to, and the enemy is us. We are our own worst enemies, I would say, if I could, in that we're becoming believers. And I'm going to hang my hat on this proclamation and say to you again and again, it's the smoking gun. It's the equivalent of walking in and seeing the party standing over the person with the gun in hand saying, that is why I shot you. Folks, we've been afforded an opportunity. If we get the right independent investigators on this one, we can clean up about two-thirds of government in one indictment. We can see if we are able to get someone independent, and I repeat it, to investigate this, I believe that you will see the governor, you will see some senators, you will see the former mayor, you'll see, and probably this mayor, the way things are going, and you'd see some people go to jail. And I don't mean to club fed where they get to sit and enjoy the weight rooms there in California and federal prison. So this is telling. What are we going to do? Are we going to go, well, I listened to the Carol Cox show, and boy, he was really, you were really upset, and you told him off. Well, I'm trying to avoid from telling them off because that's not my purpose in life. My purpose in life is that, see, I enjoy just the mere fact that I can say that I'm an American citizen. I'm honored to know that because, and I say that because there are people that struggle, that die to come here, sneak across the desert, get on planes in the belly of ships, and do all kinds of things, get on an inner tube to float here, and struggle through sharks and get to the coastline and struggle on their last stroke to beat it to the sand before the Coast Guard intercepts them in the water so they don't be taken back. And then on the other side of that, you got the fat, dumb, and happy American who sits here now and go, well, we could get worse. No, we could get better by voting our conscience and voting the things that we need to consider. This isn't an act with Neil Abercrombie. This man, someone told me yesterday, well, it's disappointing because he was a hippie. Well, no, that's not disappointing. That's what drugs will do for you. It'll change your personality. You might start off to be a good person. And in the hippie days, in the long-haired days, and you can smoke or toke too much of it, and then you grow up and you abandon because you don't know right from wrong anymore. And then you get a little taste and you tell the people, I want to see America being stronger and built better. And we trust you, and then we send you off without any oversight, per se, and you learn from the big dogs who cheat you, well, this is how you keep the public at control, this is how you stay in office, and you stay in every 6 years, you get to vote, and you can tell them anything, and just take care of your friends. And by the way, take care of yourself while you're at it. That's what we are witnessing, people. And I wished I had a more eloquent and for some of you, well, you know, I'm going to try to keep it very simple. It's fraudulent on the part of the governor. I believe that, again, if we get the right investigators in town, we'll see someone. We'll need a paddy wagon so big that it will be described as the world's largest free taxi ride. And it's about time. I can imagine the justice in this is that I hope to live to see, and I believe this from what I'm looking at and the donations and what went on with this proclamation and the suspending of the laws, and then now there's a harbor that's being proposed out there in Sand Island and all of that, and the naming the biggest, one of the largest developers as his chief of staff now or whatever. And I think that the perfect crime is being perpetrated on us as I speak. And now, isn't it funny that in the midst of all of this, Neil Abercrombie is going to take off and go to visit the APAC countries, or some of the countries that are coming here. Why not just wait here and go out there and work at Nimitz and make it, put on that facade that everything's fine, folks. Don't worry, we have no homeless. You know, we don't have any crime in government. So come on over and we'll put on a good face for you. We'll leave the light on for you, to borrow a quote from Mufi Hanneman, Mr. Hotel Manager or whatever that it is. I'm really concerned that if we do not take control and get out and start to hold, and I would say that the quote media, I don't have any right to be critical of the media. It's not their responsibility to be the fourth arm of government, even though we've said they are and all. I'm going to do what I can, and I'm hoping that the local media start working backwards, as I've said, and asking the questions. How legal or illegal are your activities, Mr. Abercrombie? Carla, go ahead. Comment or question?
Aloha. My name is Shannon Kalanieli Lokrivalo, calling from the island of Molokai. I want to make a comment about Big Wind Industry that's kind of coming here in Molokai and want to hurt our island. On behalf of Aloha Molokai, I'd like to mention a few points that this wind industry is trying to come here on Molokai to propose their company here in destroying our island. 93% of Molokai people oppose the industrial wind factory, and only 4% approve of it, which is this Backers Molokai Ranch, Castaway Cook, Hawaiian Electric, Governor Abercrombie, Pattern Energy, and Biological Capital. They're coming here to shove this idea down our throat when 93% of Molokai disagree on this project. So the huge negative impacts on this Molokai that this would have is many turbine towers 42 stories high, taller than almost any building in Honolulu, would distract our views, our pristine lands, our culture site. It includes large switching stations, a huge roads, and in our Kanaka Harbor will be deepened, and a deep water port will be built at Haleolono, which will destroy reefs and destroy everything.
Okay.
On our island, so $1 billion cable will be reef and world sanctuary. There's no studies that have been done to determine if the Molokai winds are sufficient on for this project. So many of the proposed community benefits are already the legal responsibility of Molokai Ranch, and thus no additional value to the community. Our electric bills will go up 30% no matter what. It won't benefit our island. It would benefit Honolulu and the rest of our island. There's other impacts that would help. They think that having a wind, you know, turbines here would help generate energy and all that. But in reality, you'd still have to use fossil fuel to get the percentage of amount of energy that would help Oahu. So we in Molokai oppose this.
Okay.
you know, and you know, it would kill our birds, kill our, destroy our culture sites, kill our bats, you know, our native bats, it would destroy the reefs, the seals, the dolphins, turtles. So after 20 years, it would shut down the towers and 725-ton bases in the ground that the developers promised to pay. They said in 20 years, they're going to leave artists, you know, and it wouldn't benefit nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the wind power loses tons of money. It needs huge taxpayers to operate this, which is us. And subsidies and tax breaks putting our nation further in debt. All of the cable costs is $1 billion or more will be paid by Hawaii Electric customers, raising our electric rates 30%. All the profits will go to developers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most wind factories run at only 19 to 24% capacity. Often stop because they produce power when it is not needed and lose money until abandoned. So
mm-hmm.
most countries with this wind power are canceling new projects, and turbine makers are cutting production as tax incentives and subsidies run out.
Okay.
So also, over 70 wind power projects in the U.S. are now being sued by local citizens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And wind power does not reduce fossil fuel use. Wind is so unreliable that fossil fuel plants have to constantly increase the decreased generation and provide backup. In no country with major wind power have these projects decreased fossil fuel use. So none of the electricity will be available for Molokai or on any island except on Oahu. So we at Molokai oppose this project. If you want to know more of the scam behind big wind companies,
mm-hmm.
Read The Big Wind Scam. It's a book that's out there. It's a big corporate scam.
Okay.
Utilizing the green theory and all that. So.
Alrighty.
Alright.
Hey, well, thank you for calling and keep us posted.
Alright.
Alright, aloha.
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 Bye.
Well, I don't just want to sit and talk, and I want to hear real people, and while I'm sitting here trying to reflect and share with you my findings, I think if I can project on you what real people are concerned with. Now, some of you may say, well, that's an activist, but it's causing a problem. There's a problem out here amongst us. What is it? I don't know. But this is what our circle of friends, as we some often refer to it as government, this circle of friends, you know, and I have a law enforcement background, and I believe anybody in law enforcement, firemen, doctors, they're the real heroes. Just tell it to you the way it is. But what's telling here about this circle of friends? You ever notice when there's a policeman that gets into trouble? Now, I know that a policeman violating the trust of the people is a sinister and despicable act. I know that. I'm sold on that. And I think any crooked cop should be taken and isolated and treated and try to rehab and treat them and punish them. But let's follow this little overtime thing with the policeman here. Notice how the rail, millions squandered, unanswered, can be located, accounted for, and millions more to come. Trucks being purchased for $2 million and can't use them. Cement being dumped in the rivers, a couple million dollars to clean it up. No prosecution. But if you steal 1 hour of overtime and you're a policeman, holy mackerel. So what does that tell you? I'm beginning to believe that they take the policemen and they use them as an example to say, this is what we'll do for you, but the good old boy and this big circle of friends can steal us blind. And they are stealing us blind. Caller, go ahead. Comment or question? Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Actually, I was calling about the conversation earlier about the big wind project on Molokai.
Well, let's talk.
So, I mean, I just wanted to say that how important I think it is as a resident here on Oahu that we really stand in solidarity with the people of Molokai and really listen to what their needs are and the community plan that they're asking for, which doesn't include these windmills.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just wanted to call because I was listening to the conversation earlier, and I think it's really important, and that we, the people on Oahu here, we really have to listen to what our brothers and sisters on Molokai are saying.
All righty.
So.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing
your
thoughts.
Thank you so much.
All right. Aloha. Anytime.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye-bye. Well, anyway, I appreciate all of you calling and participating, and what does this mean for all of us? It means higher prices at the gas pumps, higher prices at the grocery store, higher prices at the parks. Now everywhere you go and park your car, I think there's this group of people that drive around looking and say, well, let's put a parking meter there. And all of that money, we don't really know where it goes when they collect it. In fact, proof of that is that look how some of the parking attendants or the parking meter people were able to steal. And yes, they got caught, but they were able to carry out their illegal activities until they got caught. So what does that tell you? That these fees and things of this nature and parking meters is a gaping wound that can be abused and used. But again, back to the policeman, we're taking these officers and saying, we got to prosecute them. The courts frowned upon whatever the procedure was. I'm not up to par on what all transpired. But I believe that the mere fact to take the officers and to try and prosecute them is to send the message to you and myself included to say, if you were caught stealing from the circle of friends, only we can steal, we're going to burn you. We'll ruin your career. We'll destroy you. And I'm not offering this as a means to defend wrongdoing now. So don't call me and see me on the street and say, well, you were supporting. No. The parallel here is what I'm trying to share with you is that we need to understand this circle of friends. I wrote a letter to each and every state house rep and each and every senator and the city council of Honolulu asking them to intervene or to have a hearing or to take an action on this matter of the proclamation. Not because it was a proclamation and done in secrecy, but because of the criminal behavior that I see and associate with this, because there's federal monies and state people involved, there should be some transparency. We need to know, how did we get a contract through the Army Corps of Engineers on the Big Island? Then all of a sudden, there's this genius that comes into the picture and says, well, let's do it on Maui and everywhere else. Well, we can't do that because it's already authorized. Oh, don't worry. Neil is in now, guys. Neil is the man. He's been to Washington. He knows how to do it. Don't worry. Well, remember the super ferry? Oh, don't worry. Linda didn't know what she was doing. We got Neil. Neil knows how to steal. He does it all the time, folks, a big time, in a big way. And then in turn, leave it to Neil. And Neil writes a proclamation. But it's not the proclamation. It's the activities that occur behind closed doors. If you look and see the contract that is posted at carolcox.com, you'll see. Early as November 15, 2010, Waikoloa Pickard was involved in that. So how did he get to come over here? I didn't see any major competition for these contracts on Maui. But it was a declared an emergency, lifting all state laws regarding environmental and what have you and other laws. So it's, again, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just take a little gander at the actual donations. And, you know, when you look at ELISA in 2009, where they give the $5,000 and the total $6,000 in the P-cards. And, again, can't conclude that because they gave a large donation, they can afford it, that Neil gave them special favors. But it's worth asking the question, how did we get there? So that's what the proclamation is really about. Those are the concerns that I have. Wall Street may be causing and inflicting injury on us, but I also believe that over there at Washington Place and the tenants in Washington Place, the guy who moved from Washington, D.C., who learned well how to play the game, learned from the big boys, ran with the big dogs, and came back here and is able to divvy out and hand out over his shoulder. You know, look like Gail Sayers running across the scrimmage line. You know, he's fancy on his feet. I'm hoping that all of you send a message to him that we will not tolerate it, and ask the other medias to start working backwards and ask to about these so-called contracts. Forget the emergency pardon, the threats to human life on the ammunition and the unexploded ordnances. Let's see what bomb they've planted financially for us and the crimes that are being committed. Four people don't abandon ship just because they want to go and see their families. Because if they did, then I would say poor kids, because if all of a sudden you just become concerned about your children now, shame on you. Real quick, Carla, come in a question. We're going to...
Hi, Mr. Quickie. How are you doing?
All righty, fine.
Good. We tell everybody what happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not slander the person.
Right.
Right.
And
we're doing a good job. Abercrombie's are doing a good job. And we're doing a good job with each other.
All right.
We have the responsibilities for each other.
Okay. And that's
doing good. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha. Anyway, I like that, and we are supposed to be respective of others. But when they take us down the wrong path, we need to stand around and turn around and slap them silly. And I wish that's not porno, I know, but hey, I'm not advocating violence either. I'm just saying let's protect our interests. But anyway, thank all of you for joining me, and I hope that you got to see the real me sometimes, and I hope to hear from all of you again, and see you next week.
I hear something saying, sound of the men working on the chain. Nay, that's the sound of the men working on the chain. Till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them mourning their lives away, then you hear somebody.